This is Fred Nation on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Fred Fowler and Greg Frank.
All right, well, we are happy to welcome on from the Score, Jordan Schultz, the NFL and NBA insider who had the breaking news on the Kadarius Toney trade earlier in the morning, I should say, today. And he's kind enough to join us right now on the show as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Jordan, thanks a lot for your time. How you doing?
Hey, Brian. Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, so let's jump in and talk a little bit about some of these NFL moves. Let's start with the one that you had, and that's Kadarius Toney to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kind of felt like a guy that maybe had fallen out of favor a bit with the Giants, and even though the Giants are in it and trying to make the playoffs, just kind of a situation where they felt the need to kind of get out, recoup some value on a former first-round pick, and Kansas City obviously in need of a receiver.
Yeah, exactly. I think what it came down to was two things, really. Basically, you know, Gettleman drafted Kadarius. It wasn't the Joe Shane era. On top of that, you know, Daboll wants guys that are on the field, and they really haven't had Kadarius available. I don't even think he had a catch this season. That being said, he is incredibly talented. I mean, this guy was a top 20 pick coming out of Florida, and, you know, the Chiefs loved him in the draft. They didn't have a pick that year in the first, but they felt like he was a very talented guy that would have made a lot of sense for their offense in terms of his after-the-catch ability. He's just an electric playmaker. Only 23, and I think ultimately this was just the best for both sides. You know, it's a fresh start for Toney, which he probably, I think, needed. And then on the Giants, you know, for the Giants, they basically get a 3 and a 6 back, and, you know, they can move on from someone that probably just didn't fit for them.
Let me ask you, just kind of generally speaking, and then how it specifically fits in with Toney. We see these moves with the former first-round pick that maybe is trending downward, and the team that drafted him looks to get out and give him a change of scenery and recoup some draft pick compensation back. Generally speaking, it doesn't always feel like these moves tend to revive a player's career, but if there was a situation that could do just that, it would be with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City for Toney, right?
Absolutely, and Mahomes is fired up. I mean, you're 100% right, because they don't have to. He doesn't have to be used in a traditional sense, you know. I mean, you see what they did with Hardman. He had 3 touchdowns all on jet sweeps against the Niners. I mean, they can do that with Toney until he learns the playbook. They can use him as a running back at times, you know, just get him the football. That's something that was really exciting about him when he came out of the draft, you know, the ability to be used in a non-traditional sense. And the Chiefs, you think about Andy Reid and how he game plan schemes alongside Eric Bieniemy. It's a great move for them because there's not a lot of downside. I know they give up, you know, a couple picks, but in terms of they're going for it, you get another weapon for Mahomes. Now you have MBS, you have Juju, you have Hardman, you have Toney, you have Sky Moore, the kid they like, who's still getting used to that offense. It's a lot for them to work with aside alongside Kelce. So I think it's a really good move for Kansas City. And, you know, he wasn't going to play this week. He has a hamstring. They have a bye, so it's good timing. And, you know, I know they would love to get him playing next week, and then maybe he'll have to sit another week. But either way, he'll be in the offense soon.
All right, let's jump in with another move in the NFC East that happened yesterday. Philadelphia acquiring Robert Quinn. Certainly seems like a pass rusher that could help an Eagles pass rush that has been pretty good this year, obviously. Hassan Reddick proving to be a pretty good signing for the Eagles, and Brandon Graham still pretty reliable as a veteran on that defensive line. Just your thoughts on Robert Quinn going from Chicago to Philly.
Yeah, I talked to Philly last night because I wanted to know what was their not reasoning, because it's always good to have pass rushers, but what did they feel like with Quinn? And they felt like, here's a guy who's in his early 30s. Okay, he's not 25, but he had 18 and a half sacks last year. He's had a 19 sack season. At the very least, he can be a third down pass rusher, but he's still an every down kind of guy. And you think about their defensive line, Hargrave, Cox, Jordan Davis, it's just another tool for them. You mentioned Reddick, who's had probably the best year of his career. You know, back to Philadelphia because I went to Temple. So to me, you know, it's another really good move for a contender that beefed up what's the strength. You know, there's nothing wrong with having something you're good at and getting better at it, you know. And I think when you talk about bringing in Robert Quinn, at the very least, he'll be a situational pass rusher with more upside. I thought it was a really good move. And for Chicago, obviously, they're in rebuild mode. And, you know, Ryan Poles is trying to find picks, trying to find compensation to do that.
Jordan Schultz, our guest here, NFL and NBA insider for The Score. And Jordan, let's talk about some of the moves that haven't been made yet and some teams that might be lurking in the weeds. We talked about the Giants moving on from Kadarius Toney, but it seems like they're obviously looking to bring in a receiver that would help them get into the postseason. You also can look at the Green Bay Packers in the wide receiver market, Los Angeles Rams with an offensive lineman. Those are the obvious ones that get brought up. You have the Minnesota Vikings sitting at 5-1. We haven't seen heard a ton from them. Just what are you looking at in terms of what's next here on the NFL trade front?
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you one that I don't think is going to happen is DJ Moore. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about him. And you know, I just – listen, he's a really good player. He's still on his rookie deal. And to trade him, Carolina would have to get a boatload of picks. I think they view him – similarly offensively to how they do with Burns defensively. You know, they turned down two number ones for Brian Burns. I've got that confirmed from two different sources. So that was a massive haul. They didn't do it. I think DJ Moore, similar, young receiver who's been very productive. I don't see him being traded. A couple other guys in the mix. I mean, Brandon Cooks, another receiver that seems like every year this guy's on the trade block.
Right.
And I know they wanted a two or a three. I think it's going to be really tough to get that given his age. He did sign a 2-year, about a $38 million extension. I know three or four teams have called on him, but another guy I don't necessarily think will be dealt. A name that I would really look for is Jerry Jeudy or KJ Hamler. You know, we're staying with the receivers here. I mean, two guys that haven't done a whole lot, and that's not all on them. The quarterback hasn't played well, but I know that Denver has interest in both. The asking price for Hamler is less. I was told that both are available. And then one more guy that I would just, you know, say, okay, who could help a team? You know, who's a contending guy, or who's the guy that could go to a contender and make a difference? And that's Jonathan Abram, safety with the Raiders. You know, 26, 27 years old, I think, has been really good when he's on the field as more of like that Jamal Adams coming down in the box safety role. He hasn't played a whole lot because he's been injured, but I know that he is available for the right price. And, you know, someone would definitely love to have him if they can get him.
Jordan, one last thing on the Raiders that you mentioned, Jonathan Abram, and we've seen it ever since the brain trust has switched there. It's kind of feels like there's been a purge of Gruden and Mayock guys there, and Cleveland Farrell might be another guy that gets looked at there. Is that something that is very real there in terms of just like ridding themselves of all the Gruden and Mayock guys?
Absolutely. I mean, it just seems like the Raiders. It's like the nightmare that doesn't end, you know, the Gruden and Mayock era. You know, so many disappointing picks, so many mistakes in the draft. And I think that's probably their ultimate goal. I mean, you didn't mention Leatherwood, but that was another one.
Yeah.
He was the top 20 pick, and, you know, most teams had a third-round grade on him. They obviously did not work out. He went to Chicago as a free agent. So, listen, I think the bottom line is, They would love that. They're not going to make a trade just to do it, but I think to your point, there's a concept with Ziegler and McDaniels of this needs to be ours. We got to have our footprint on this, and that's part of it.
All right, one last football one before we get to some NBA stuff. The other news that wasn't trade deadline related in the last 24 hours in the league was that Mac Jones is going to start on Sunday for New England against the Jets. And obviously, Belichick and the Patriots organization kind of coming under fire a little bit this week for how the situation was handled and if Mac Jones was really healthy. Just what did you make of what happened Monday night against the Bears? And is it the right decision to go with Mac Jones on Sunday?
I was surprised that they put themselves in this position, to be honest, you know, specifically Belichick. I mean, you know, to go ahead and decide that you're going to basically create a competition, it was just, I felt unnecessary to me. And I know that they're disappointed with how both guys played against the Bears. Zappe came in and you know, looked great for a few minutes, but when it comes down to it, I just don't understand what you're gaining from creating a competition seemingly out of nothing. You know, to me, you know, Mac played really well last year as a rookie. It should still be his team. And I do like Bailey Zappe. I think a lot of teams think he's played really well. But it comes down to, he drafted a kid in the first round last year. Zappe was a fifth. why are you making a competition? I know Mac hasn't played great, but I'm surprised by the whole thing.
All right, let's hit the hardwood quickly as we're talking with Jordan Schultz, NBA NFL insider for The Score. Jordan, any kind of, I guess, maybe groundbreaking isn't the word, but any takeaways that any takeaways that stand out over a week in now in the NBA?
Well, Portland's been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Dame before the season, and I asked him, what do you expect, basically, from your team? And he was like, we're going to be a hell of a lot better than people think. And everyone thinks that. But his reasoning was, we're really athletic. We have wings that can really guard. He was healthy. He is healthy. And I think they felt like, they had an opportunity to surprise a lot of people. That 4-1 for them is impressive. The game over Phoenix was awfully impressive. On the flip side, just kind of disappointed with Philadelphia. I don't know how long of a leash Doc Rivers has. It's pretty strange to me that they have struggled like this. It doesn't look to me as if Embiid is in phenomenal shape. It doesn't look like him and Harden are synced up. And it just feels like they're out of sync. So, Brooklyn struggling a little bit is not that surprising as they get Simmons back. But for me, Philadelphia having these issues this early in the season, it feels like a mid-year lull for them. That's just super disappointing.
Yeah, no, those were the two teams I had highlighted on opposite ends of the spectrum, the Sixers as an underachiever and the Trailblazers as an overachiever. To follow up on Dame, though, you mentioned you talked to him. There's been obviously a lot of stuff out there the last couple of years about his future there in Rip City. Does he strike you as somebody that's pretty happy there right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked at length a few weeks back, and he was really happy, and I wasn't sure what to expect. And this is just full transparency. Like if he was upset, I would tell you he was not upset. He was really happy, and that was great to see and hear, because it's been a tough run for them. And obviously my relationship with CJ McCollum has been we go way back together, and I've gotten to Dame a little bit as well. And they had such a great 1-2 punch over the years that you always thought that when one of them, if they got separated, you always wondered how the other one would respond. They've both played really well. And specifically in Dame's case, he is healthy. He was really battled it last year. He went through it. And I think he got criticized probably unfairly, but now you see what happens when you have a healthy Dame and a pretty decent, I'm not going to say great, but a pretty decent roster around him.
Hey, Jordan, last one for you on the Sixers, and you mentioned Doc Rivers and if that clock might be ticking for him. We've seen the Sixers have some assistants get hired away in recent years, Ime Udoka, Monty Williams, and you look at their staff right now, and Sam Cassell is sitting there, and I just wonder if there is some thought around the league, and as an insider, I'm sure you can speak to this, about if Sam Cassell is a future NBA head coach, and if so, would that maybe expedite the process towards a change in Philly?
I do think he is. Yeah, I mean they have felt like he is. He's been that guy for a long time. That they're grooming him. It's one of those things. It's almost like with a backup quarterback, where you have someone that you really like. You don't know for sure how they're going to do, but you feel like there's an opportunity for them to be successful. And the starter has had some success in Doc's case, but you feel like it's almost time to move on. I think we're getting toward that point. Now I don't know if Cassell is the next in line there, but I can tell you from their perspective, and then also having just asked a few people around the league with him, is that he is considered a future NBA coach. The timeline on that is a little murky, but that is a fair point. And I think what we said earlier with Doc, he could very well be the first coach fired if the Sixers continue to struggle.
Well, it'd be just like the Phillies. They fired Joe Girardi, and they had Rob Thompson sitting in the wings, and he did a great job. So there he is, Jordan Schultz on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance, what do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Jordan, thanks a lot for your time. Looking forward to chopping it up again.
My man, thank you.
Okay.